Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's kind of different here. I'm trying a little something else different. I'm actually on my iPad here through a thing called a hotspot on my iPhone, and it looks like it's working okay. I can't really tell if my voice is coming through, but looks like I'm called in, and I should be there. But the scriptures that we're looking at right now is 1 John. We're actually in chapter 2 of 1 John, and it was troubling this morning to see. I think I mentioned this the other day. No, because I just found out about it yesterday. I mean, we weren't here yesterday. So probably mentioned it to somebody I was talking to, that there's a new television program on the I guess it's called Women's Entertainment Network. I don't know. Well, whatever that is. I don't want to say it's Women's Entertainment if it's not, but it's WETV, WEETV. And I saw this morning on Fox and our Fox News on the Outnumbered program that they actually covered this story. So it's not something that was made up. It truly is a show that's about the debut called Sex Box. And I don't want to cover much about it, except for it does give us a real plain, you know, not fuzzy picture of how degraded, how goofy, I don't even know, how messed up we've become. But it just seems to be accented now to me. I could just probably just spin out right now because of, you know, if I just really, really thought about it, how far gone we are. It's kind of like you're driving along and you fall off a cliff. If you drive along and you take a wrong turn and you turn right and then you took a wrong turn, you're kind of lost and you're driving around, you finally end up kind of turning around and you might run out of gas and eventually you walk out and you get back to where you're on track. But when you're driving along and you fall off a cliff, it's pretty much, you got to hope for a soft landing, because other than that, you're done. Well, I believe we've just driven off a cliff. Interestingly enough, the book of 1 John was written in the year 90. So just because math is not my strong subject, about 2,000 years ago it was written. I guess it'd be, you know, less than that, but 1900 and somebody, but 2,000 years ago, therefore. Look what John says in chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. It is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. So in the very sentence, the very verse, the sentence of chapter 2, verse 18, it not only tells the people that are reading that at that time, they're in the last hour, but it tells them how they know they're in the last hour. So it would be indicative, even now, if we say, okay, are we still in the last hour? Well, yeah, because if you're in the last hour 2,000 years ago, it would be pretty easy to go ahead and just say we're in the last seconds now. I mean, it's not going to be back to the front. You know, we are. If we were in the last hour 2,000 years ago, we're definitely in the last seconds. And how do we know that? How would we know that we're in the last seconds? Well, because it says the Antichrist has arisen, and from this we know that it is the last hour. It is the last hour. And the bottom line is just what I told you about that television show, the sex box, where people come onto the show, have sex in a soundproof booth, then come out and talk to people about their experience there. And it's so perverted and so not even, I don't even know. It's almost you can't even say words to put it together. I was looking at some headlines today. Now, if we just talk about that, that's the kind of show that's on right now. There's other stuff that's just as bizarre. I mentioned the other day about Ashley Madison, and it was mentioned on TV on a commercial. And this is at prime time, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And looking up Ashley Madison on the Internet, you'll find out that it's a company that is a dating service for people who want to commit adultery. And it's the premier dating service who people want to commit adultery. I can't get there. But anyway, the BBC has put out an article, or has an article that says that they think it's time to just go ahead and lay this whole Holocaust thing to rest. We think it's time to lay the Holocaust thing to rest? No, the Holocaust is something that happened. Where it's the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. You have Buchenwald, you have Dachau, you have the other. There's just, I can't even count how many camps there were. There wasn't one or two. In fact, the weird part about Auschwitz, it was in two places, and it's gigantic, like a city. We're not going to lay that to rest. And as long as I have breath, I'm going to make sure people know that it actually happened, that burning Holocaust, the great fire, the great burning. It happened. People were exterminated, okay? Another thing is that, and I can't believe there's somebody actually writing an article about this, and here's the headline. Words from the Lord cannot supersede the Bible. I have said this for years, for decades. I've said, look, people have all these, I have a word. And there'll be people at churches speak, the Lord gave me a word for you, and then they'll say something. And usually along the lines of, you're going to be very wealthy, you're going to be used very dramatically in ministry, you're going to have a wonderful ministry, you're going to have, you know, all kinds of things like that. And it sounds good, and it sounds positive, and it's uplifting, and it makes you feel good. But we cannot allow people to say, thus saith the Lord, and then that would supersede the Bible. In other words, whatever that person gave to you as a personal prophecy is going to form your life and slot you into a place in life, but it had nothing to do with Scripture. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even agree with Scripture. We have to be very, very careful for that. There's still people that are still searching for the lost ark of the covenant. Why? Why don't we search? Why don't we direct people to search for Christ? Because they're going to find him. And when they find him, it's going to be an entirely different thing that you can ever possibly imagine. These things are happening by the day now. It's not, it used to be every couple of years we'd see something, and then every couple of, you know, 6 months or so there'd be something. Now it's happening, really, it's progressed by day. Day by day, there are these things happening that we just, I mean, I can't believe them. I'm stupefied. Here's what it says about these false teachers, these antichrists, these ones that are acting like they're Christians, but they're not. Here's what he goes on to say in verse 19. They went out from us. In other words, they were with the group, and then they went out, kind of like they're going on a mission. But they were not really of us. In other words, they never were Christians. They never were followers of you. They weren't believers. They were just kind of, you know, going with the flow, moving with the grooving, you know? They were really not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, and there's a reason they went out, and here's what it says in the Scripture, in order that it might be shown that they are all not of us. So, or they all are not of us. In other words, because someone says Jesus, just because someone says they're a Christian, just because someone says they are this, it doesn't mean you can go put it. We've had a huge influx of people putting on uniforms, and acting like they're in the military. Literally acting as though they're in the military. I mean, we have a president that's never put on a uniform, and he's the commander-in-chief. We got some real weird stolen valor stuff, but these people are doing that. They were doing it then. They were going out and acting as though they were from that church, from that group. But he was telling the people, First John was saying, look, you, the real believers, here's what you have. Verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. You know that you know. I mean, I wish people would start exercising discernment. Then we wouldn't have any more Todd Bentleys. We wouldn't have any more Thus Saith the Lorders going out and doing all the junk and all the garbage. And, you know, the stuff that I'm talking about, those are fake. Not people who actually have heard a message from God. They go to the Word of God. They realize the Word of God, you know, was impressed upon their heart, and they act upon what the Word, the written Word of God says, and they're thankful for the Lord speaking to their heart. Not that. People that are just toss the Bible and doing their own thing. Do you realize we have a problem in our country when the Speaker of the House invites Benjamin Netanyahu to come and speak to the both houses of Congress, both groups of people are going to be spoken to, and there's now a fight, there's now an argument, there's now the president and his cabinet saying, how dare you go around us and invite this guy here, and our president doesn't even plan on meeting with him, the prime minister of Israel. What? I mean, he'll meet with a woman that sits in a bathtub full of milk eating, Fruit Loops and wears green lipstick, but will not meet with the prime minister of Israel? The Bible just coming alive, folks. John goes on to say, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That verse is heavy, because if people say that Jesus is not the Messiah and Jesus is not God in human flesh, they're liars. I don't care who they are. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. In other words, you'll see a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but they do not believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, the only Son of God. Mormons will call themselves Christians. They don't believe that. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. See, this is a really deep theological point, a creed for affirmation of who is and who not is not a believer. And yet people will point their finger and say, judge not, lest ye be judged. They do that, judge not, how dare you judge. I want to say, look, I don't want any part of it, but the Word of God is very clear. It's very specific. We're messed up people, all of us. We're rankled and wrinkled and goofed up, and we sin, and we have sin, and we're sinners, but we're saved by grace. And it's the grace of God, not saved by the church, not saved by people, not saved by some membership with a group. And he's specific about that. If you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, now he's speaking to those that are true believers, if that's you. As for you, let that abide in you, what you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. That Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, a lowly birth, was raised up, and died on a cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. His blood covers your sin, my sin, all sin. Death couldn't hold him. He suffered death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Those absolutes, if you believe them, if you've received them, and you heard that from the beginning, don't go and add stuff to that. Now you have to do this, and now you have to do that, and now this has to happen. As a result of that happening, all these things have to happen, and then you'll stay saved, and then you'll be saved. No, where does it teach that in the Scripture? This is the promise, verse 25, which he himself made to us. Here's the promise. It's kind of cool how it's written here. Eternal life. Notice it does not say temporary life or conditional eternal life or eternal life if. Eternal life. You receive his death, burial, and the resurrection, his death, his atonement for sin, for you. He never sinned, but you did, do, have, will, eternal life. It's nothing short, and there's nothing to add to eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Trying to deceive you. See, the church right now deceived in a lot of ways. I read a little statement that I put online about our church. I can't find it right now, but I said, are you tired of bubblegum church? Are you tired of bubblegum church? Are you tired of latte, let's sit down and have a good chat church? There's so much of that going on. Let's have a latte and let's have a little chat. We'll have a chat. I remember one survey, one church I saw, they said, let's just come on and have a latte and we'll have a chat. You can join the conversation. So you're just as important as everyone else. And it's not about how important you are or how important I am. It's not about our level of importance. It is about the level of importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's imperative. Because it gets you the one thing that's promised, which is eternal life. A personal relationship with Jesus. You submitting to him. You submit to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's how it works, folks. We can sit around and have lattes and discuss it all day. You put your 2 cents worth in, I put mine in, then we come up with an idea. Are you tired of that? Then you need to get into the Word of God. That's what you need to do, is get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. You're tired of the bubble gum bouncing around, pogoing up and down? Are you tired, as my buddy and I say, of guys leading worship and singing, we want to worship you, using all these new kind of sounds, and they even, in their singing, they sound like they're at a concert, rather than at a time of worshiping and lifting up the name of Jesus and praising God. It's just, you know, pogoing, dancing up and down and shouting your screaming and shoving your fists in the air. And instead of saying, we want to worship you, Lord, we call him Yao. All that stuff. And I'm just saying, get it back to where it's supposed to be. Worshiping the Holy One. There's one that's holy. It's Jesus. And he wrote this letter to make sure that they understood. I've written you these things concerning these things who are trying to deceive you. Now listen to what he says here at the end. And as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. In other words, there isn't going to be an abridged edition. There isn't going to be a new revised plan. There isn't going to be a update to it. There isn't going to be a fourth and fifth edition. You got to get back to what actually happened when you received Jesus Christ and he set up his home in you. And I look at my life and I see the times when I'm doing well. I wish the times I did well outweigh the times I don't. They don't. It's getting better, but I really can't wait. I mean, it's going to be awesome to not have to deal with that. And I know when I'm at the point of not having to deal with that, I'm not going to think about not having to deal with that. But the point being is that we should get to places where we're having more and more times of refreshing. We shouldn't be living from glory to glory, which is what's really happening now in our world. We should be living from glory to glory. There are bad times. Lots of them. Seems to be many more than good. But let's think of the times when God has blessed us, when he's nourished us, when he's done wonderful things to us and through us. And then let's just strive for the next one and make it through by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how people are making it without Christ. I know many are. I know that they think they're making it, but they're not going to. Because ultimately, you have one of two things going to happen to you. Eternal life or eternal death. Not eternal death, but eternal dying. Being separated from God, being consciously aware of it, and knowing that, and being consciously aware of it for all eternity. Any of us can tough it out. There's some people that are much, much tougher. We're reading about how the Marines are trying to institute the situation of I don't know what they call it, so I'll just say it like it is. They're trying to make women be men, bring them into combat situations. And I think 3, maybe 4, out of 29 made it past the first day of training. And they are going to have to, by the end of the year, lighten up their Marine training so they'll be able to pass some women. Otherwise, they're going to have some of the enlisted women that actually get into combat situations have no women to combat to command them, and they'll be under a man's command. It's just going to get twisted and wrangled and messed up and goofy for a handful of people. I'm talking a handful of people. We're not talking about 10,000 or 30,000 or 75,000 people. We're talking about a handful, maybe 50 or 100 people. Changing all the precedents that we've had in the United States Marine Corps for hundreds of years so that we can bring some women in there to do just a handful of women that want to get in and get on the combat. You know, most smart guys don't want to get into combat. I mean, you do what you got to do. But it isn't fun to go and kill people. Okay, these liberals are saying that's all people want to do. They just love killing people. When Chris Kyle said he loved what he was doing, he meant he loved to kill people. No, he didn't. He was trying to save lives. If he could have done it any other way and done a good job of it, he'd have done that. He didn't just like to kill people. You don't have that kind of attitude. It's like saying, I like to beat people up. I'm going to go in the boxing ring. You know, I tell you what, you have an attitude, you're going to beat people up in the boxing ring, you get your tail wiped. You can't go in there angry and mad and do well. So the bottom line is we have to look at this. Where am I supposed to get my marching orders? Well, right from the Word of God. We received an anointing from God, the Spirit, who dwells in us. And we don't have to have other spirits minister to us, because if we do, those other spirits are not from God. You see, it's not going to happen that way. One death, one burial, one resurrection that matters, one Spirit, one Holy One, and that's Jesus, his Spirit, the Comforter, sent to us, dwells in us. He will take us through this thing called life, and the bumps, and the chuck holes, and all the other stuff that comes with it. So we need to press on. We need to look at that. But I'll tell you what, starting out with that is, it's the last hour. I'll tell you what, I think it's the last minutes, and I think we should be paying attention to that pretty closely. Well, I'm going to try and reach over to this little teeny mini. I got an iPad mini. I don't have one of the bigger ones. And tell you guys that hope you have a wonderful day. Tomorrow is going to be the 29th of January. Isn't that amazing? 29th of January. And we'll be seeing you tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. So you guys have a wonderful day.